this dream in the book of Genesis, I think 13 or 17 years that Joseph had to go through hard times before it was ever realized. But even though he was going through the hard times, God was good to him. Amen?
Yeah.
I thought about King David as Mike was singing that. When King David was anointed to be king, he had to go through some hard times before he actually got to be the king of Israel. Amen? So we're going to have hard times. That's a given. But God's been good to us. Amen?
Amen.
God's brought us through. Amen? We're standing on the end of 2024, last Sunday morning service of 2024, getting ready to go in to the new year. Amen? And God has been good to you. You say, well, it's been a hard year. You ain't by yourself. But God's got us here. That's something to shout about right there. There was some of us in here through this year. You didn't know if you'd make it to the end of this year. You didn't know how it was going to be at the end of this year. Now look where you're at now, and it's God that got you here.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let me ask you a quick question. How many's made any New Year's resolutions yet? We all do. How many made New Year's resolutions last year that you didn't keep?
Amen.
Everybody kind of smiling, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you a secret right now of how to keep some New Year's resolutions this year. And I'm going to give you some things that if you'll do this year, I'm telling you right now, if you'll make these resolutions that I'm getting ready to preach about, you'll have a whole lot better year this year, this coming year, than you did this year. Amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, look at verse 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Let's pray. God, we love you and we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God, as we try to preach this that you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts, God. Help each and every one of us right now, dear God, to make up our minds to have a better year this coming year than we've did this year. And God, whatever's done in this service today, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can say, if you've made New Year's resolutions in the past and you didn't keep them, I'll just say this. Over the holidays, me and my wife really enjoyed the holidays. Amen. The senior saints came over to the house and they brought all those cakes. And, you know, I just kind of splurged a little bit. Amen. I ain't gonna lie, I splurged a lot. But at the end of this year, I've got a certain weight that I've made up my mind years ago that I'm not going past that again. And I got close this year. So me and my wife kind of started backing up. We've kind of agreed together that we're going to kind of eat a lot more clean this year and try to do a whole lot better. But over the years, my wife, and I'm picking on her a little bit, my wife, the only way she could do this was she said, I got to make a vow to God or I can't stick to it. If I don't give it to the Lord, I won't be able to stick to it. I'll be eating biscuits and I'll be eating a cake and all that kind of stuff. Because she knows in her heart that if she ever says, I'm doing this to the Lord, that she won't back out of it. I'm just telling you right now, some of us need to make some vows this year and make them to God. I always tell everybody when we just had a beautiful wedding ceremony with Tucker and Haley, and I always tell them, you're not making this vow to me. You make this vow to God. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 76, verse 11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. What is a vow? That is a promise to the Lord. You're promising God. Now listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 23 says in verse 21 and 23. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and if it would be sin unto thee. But if thou shalt not forbear to vow, it shall be no sin unto thee. That which is gone out of thy lips shalt thou keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. It's a serious thing when you and I make a promise to God. It's a serious thing when you and I make a vow to God. I want to just preach a little while on some vows we need to make this year. Amen? Number one, we need to make a vow of separation in 2025. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says when Daniel was faced with the world, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. We need to do our very best this year. We need to make a vow to God this year. God, I'm going to do my very best to live a separate life. I'm going to do my very best to live a holy life. Now see, the thing about it is some folks don't want to make that vow because you like playing around with sin. If you like playing around with sin, I question your relationship with God. A Christian ought not have a problem, Jackie, with making a vow of separation. That's what the Bible tells us to do anyhow. Let me go ahead and tell you something. When I'm preaching today, these are not, God is not making requests with these. These are commandments. There are other commandments in the Bible besides the 10 we find in Exodus and Deuteronomy. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, we've all heard this scripture. We all know, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Baal or Satan? Or what part does he have the believer with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temples of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and be ye separate. That's what the Bible says. Some of us need to make up our minds right now. We're going to separate from some friends that we've been hanging with. The Bible tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible tells us to separate ourselves from this worldly. David said it in Sunday school this morning. We are in the world, but not of the world. We need to make a vow of separation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now listen to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now what does that mean? God's not asking you to do something that's unreasonable. Your reasonable service. Now, I thought about it as I was studying this, and Mike sung the song. When he was on the cross, I was on it. Well, is it reasonable for somebody that died for you? Is it reasonable for somebody that was beaten to a bloody pulp, hung on a cross, and died the most vicious death anybody has ever? Is it reasonable for him that died for you and paid your sin debt and rose on the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Is it reasonable for him to ask you to be separate from the world? Yes, it is. And it's our reasonable service to live for him the way that the Bible tells us to live for him. We need to make a vow of separation this year. We also need to make a vow of service this year. Ron, I just read to you, which is your reasonable service. Let me ask you a question. Is it too much for God to ask you to be faithful to church? Think about that. Is it too much for the Lord to ask us to be faithful to church? Then I'm going to go ahead and say something, and I might make some folks mad this morning. There is a man laying in a hospital bed down there in Heath Springs, and his name is Jerry Burr, and I talked to him, and he loves to go to church. And I'm telling you right now, if he was able this morning, he would be in this church, amen. There ain't a doubt in my mind. And we got folks that's well-abled and well-bodied sitting home watching this on Facebook. Let me go ahead and tell you something. It is your reasonable service. You need to make a vow of service this year and be faithful to God's house. Amen. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but as the day approaches that we do this. Folks, this is our reasonable service. We need to make a vow of service. Second, is it too much for God to ask us to read the Bible? When's the last time you read your Bible? I'm not talking about coming in Sunday school and opening up a Bible in Sunday school. When's the last time you read your Bible at home? The Bible tells in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If God only wrote one book, Tony, then don't you think we need to read it? Amen. You need to quit trying to watch movies about the Bible and start reading the Bible, amen. You need to turn off what was the chosen. Well, got quiet right there, didn't it? I can't tell you how many Christians, have you watched The Chosen? That is just the best series I've ever watched in my life. Put down that mess and start reading your Bible, and you'll learn a whole lot more about what happened in Jesus' life. Didn't get one amen right there. That ain't going to stop me from preaching, so y'all know me by now. But is it reasonable for God to ask you to read the Bible? That's part of our service, amen. Is it too much for God to ask us to pray? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to say this, okay? Y'all can like it or not. Our church has got a little quiet when we pray. Dale, just a few years ago, we asked somebody to pray. Everybody prayed. And now we got a little quiet. I don't know if some of y'all want to hear what somebody else is saying and you just quit talking to God. Are you embarrassed about praying out loud? I don't know. I wasn't planning on getting into this today. But I'm just being honest. We need to pray. Prayer is the key to the kingdom, amen? You say, well, God already knows what I'm thinking. I know he already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what you need. But he wants you to know it, and he wants you to ask him. We need to get back to prayer, amen. We're going to have prayer Tuesday night right here in this sanctuary. We're going to come in about a quarter till. We're going to get around this altar. We're going to pray the old year out, pray the new year in. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, prayer worked in 1950. Prayer worked in 1980. Prayer's going to work in 2025, amen. And I'm going to use what works. Glory to God. I'm sticking with what works. Amen. I'm going to stay with the service, and I'm going to make a vow to God that I'm going to do better in service this year to him. We don't need more church programs. We don't need no more smoke. We don't need no more flashing lights. Glory to God. What we need to do is get back to what got us here. Amen. And that's prayer. Prayer works. Amen. I read a story. Listen to this. African converts to Christianity were earnest in their private devotions. Each one was reported to have a separate spot in the thicket of trees where they would go and pour their heart out to God. Over time, these paths would become well-worn, and you'd see the path where they would walk. You'd see the path where they would kneel down and pray. As a result, if one of the believers began to neglect his prayer, his path would start to grow over. And his friends would ask him, Your path is getting grass on it because you're not doing what you used to do. Let's just be honest. We've got some folks under the sound of my voice. Your path has got grass on it because you're not praying like you did. You're not in service like you did. We need to have a vow of separation. We need to have a vow of service. But we also need a vow of stewardship. Stewardship, that's the responsibility of overseeing and protecting something considered worthy of caring for. Did you hear what I'm going to say that again? Stewardship is the responsibility of overseeing and protecting something considered worthy to be cared for. We're all called to be stewards of this church. We're all called to support this church in our attendance and support this church in our tithes. Amen. Now, I know it always gets quiet when you preach on tithes, yeah. But I was expecting it, so it don't bother me. Amen. It's our responsibility. Let me ask you a question. Don't you think this church is worth us being stewards in? Don't you think this church is worth us attending it? Don't you think this church is worth us giving our money and our tithe to support the work of God? Let me tell you something. I go back to what I said a while ago. This is our reasonable service. I'll never forget it. One of the first revivals, Brother Skip, we ever had. I don't even know if there'd be anybody in this building here today that was in the service that day. But I'm just going to go ahead. I called Brother Marty Cox one time, and he come and preached a revival. We was in the old building up there in where the classroom's at now and where the teenagers meet. And Brother Marty was preaching one day, and he got to preaching on tithing. And he said something like this. He said, when's the last time some of you ladies or some of you men went shopping? He said, and you go and you look at this thing and you look at the hanging on the rack and you're looking at it and you're liking it and you're saying 10% off. And you said, well, that ain't a very good sale. 10% ain't very much. That's all God asked. That is all God asked. We'll spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on frivolous things and neglect to give God what's His. God, we need to make a vow this year of separation. We need to make a vow this year of service. And we need to make a vow this year of stewardship. I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out. If the people at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church paid their tithe like they ought to, that building could be paid for by now. Genesis 28. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will get and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and a vow that thou shalt give me, I will surely give tenth unto thee. Then message them, has God put food on your table this year? Say amen right there. Has God put clothes on your back this year? Say amen right there. Has God put clothes on your children's back this year? Say amen right there. Then praise God. Then we ought to be giving God a tenth of everything we got, because you wouldn't have it today without God giving it to you. We need to support God's work. What else did the Bible say about tithing? I want you to take my opinion on this. Leviticus 27, verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd, of the flock, or whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be unto the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. The Bible tells us right there, you cannot outgive God. I've told this story before, I don't know how many times, about the guy that started the Caterpillar engine company. Started a good Christian man, started out paying 10%. God blessed him and multiplied his business. He said, well, Lord, if you're going to do that to me, I'm going to pay 20%. He paid 20%, and God blessed him and multiplied his business. Well, at the end of his life, it was said that he was giving God 90%, living off of 10%, and was a multimillionaire. Wow. Had a friend of mine. got saved. He was working for a company in Conway, South Carolina. The company kind of went out of business. So when he went out of business, he was doing the maintenance. He was doing their lawn care for them. The man said, "We're going out of business. We're going to give you this John Deere lawnmower, and you can have this little trailer." He got saved, and him and his wife was in church. They had a little baby girl. He said, "I won't never forget." This was words out of his mouth, Tony. He said, "I won't never forget it. The Lord was dealing with me about tithing." He said, "I looked at my wife and said, you need to write the check." She said, "We don't have the money in the bank." He told her, said, "You write the check. God will take care of the rest." She wrote the check, and from that day to this day, God has blessed him. He's got one of the largest landscaping companies in Myrtle Beach, and God has blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. I'm just going to tell you right now, David said something this morning. If you don't like Sunday, you come to Sunday school, and you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. I'll tell you right now, if you'll give God 6 months, and you pay the tithe, you give God what's his, I guarantee you, you'll never not pay your tithes again. That's how my God operates. He said, try him. Amen. Try him. Whew. We need a vow of separation of service and stewardship. Somebody needs to make a vow of salvation this morning. If you're not saved, 2025 could be the best year you ever had. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 15 tells us about the prodigal son. And I like it. David said he saw something this morning in Sunday school. He'd never seen. I saw something this morning in this passage of scripture, Brother Terry, that I've never really looked at the same. The prodigal son in verse 18, he said, "I will arise and go to my father's house, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." The prodigal son made a vow. "I'm getting out of this mess." The prodigal son made a vow. "I'm not living like this no more." The prodigal son made a vow. "I'm not running it with the world no more." The prodigal son made a vow. "I'm going back to my father's house." Amen. Amen. Now, don't you know something? The Bible says in verse 24, this was the father speaking. I have preached this before, and listen, at no point was this boy never not his father's child. But you understand, let's look at what the father said about him. Verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Think about that. We're talking about the prodigal son. His own father said, "My son was dead. Now he's alive. My son was lost. Now he's found." Amen. Understand something. He was dead in sin. He was lost in sin. And if you're here today and you're not saved, that's exactly where you are. Yeah, everything might be going good. Everything might be all right at your house right now. But I'm telling you right now, 2025 is going to throw things at us that you cannot handle without God. Amen. And if you'll get saved this morning, that'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. How many of us today feel like we're a long way from God? How many of us today feel like the prodigal son? You know where you're supposed to be. You know how you're supposed to live. But you're not doing what you know you're supposed to do. Somebody needs to make a vow of salvation and say, "I'm going back to where the Father wants me to be." Amen. Verse 18, he said, "I will arise." Gavin, he made a vow. I remember years ago, at the old church at White Savannah, when I made a vow of salvation. Have I been what I was supposed to be since then? Nope. I've made some major mistakes. I've done some stupid things since I got saved. But glory to God, I ain't never forgot that vow. And I don't know why the Lord's put this on my mind this morning. Right there on the spot. When we're talking about vows, now listen to me. We're talking about making a promise to an almighty God that holds your life in his hands. Amen? The Bible tells us in Genesis 15. Now, I know this is talking about Old Testament. I know this is talking about the children of Israel, but we can apply this to the New Testament because Jesus loves the church. Amen. In Genesis 15, God tells Abraham, you and I are going to make a covenant. You and I are going to make a covenant. He tells Abraham, he said, go get these animals, and you cut these animals in two. And the Bible talks about how it was a heifer and other animals, Brother Tony, and they would cut these animals in two. And this is a picture of the way they would do a covenant in the Old Testament. And they would separate the animals and the blood running in the middle. And they would separate these animals. And what would happen was, stand up, Tony. If me and Tony made a covenant, me and Tony would hold hands, and we would walk through the blood of these animals. And that covenant would be so strong that what the covenant would be this. If I promised Tony to do something, if I didn't hold up my end of the bargain, my blood was no better than the blood of these, I would be killed. Same thing for him. Thank you, bro. Everything's there. The animals is cut in two. Abraham's getting ready. We're getting ready to make a covenant with God. And the Bible says that God caused a great sleep to fall on Abraham. And as Abraham slept, Abraham in a vision or in a dream saw God himself pass between the pieces all alone. Basically what was happening was God saying, I'm making a vow to you. I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And whatever I've told you will come to pass. Jesus stood between heaven and earth and passed between God Almighty and sinful man and brought us back together again through the vow he made on that cross. I want you to bow your heads with me.